You're listening to The Profile.
Welcome to the Leadership Special, where Christian leaders find strength, wisdom, and encouragement to lead with grace, courage, and purpose. I'm Andy Peck, your host, and I've had the privilege of interviewing nearly 1,000 guests over the last 20 years on various aspects of their leadership activity and journey. So whether you have a leadership title or are simply aiming to use the influence you have wisely, I hope you'll enjoy this next conversation and join us again next week.
There is a phrase that has been increasingly used. You may have even used it yourself. Let's not go there. It's suggesting that we don't want to talk about things that may be too personal or tricky to discuss. And by and large, it's probably good advice. My guest today works as a leadership coach, and as such is often asked to go there or suggests her clients go there because sometimes going there improves our leadership. But it requires us to acknowledge tough stuff that's holding us back. Her name is Tina Southgate. She is an experienced executive coach with hundreds of hours of coaching CEOs and organizational leaders over 2 decades. She's also the founder of Destiny Coaching Ministry, which includes helping Christians discern how God might be leading them. So I'm looking forward to looking at the kind of conversations she has and hope that our exploration may be of help to you as you reflect on your leading, whether in a specific role or life in general. So Tina, lovely to welcome you back to the Leadership Show.
Pleased to be here. Thank you, Andy.
I think it was before COVID that you were last here, so it's going back a little while.
Yes, BC, before COVID.
indeed. So just to underline what we said in the introduction, our purpose is to highlight areas that we all need to think about but aren't always discussed. And let's say up front, it's not our intention to share any names or precise situations in our conversation. So nobody Absolutely. Needs to feel embarrassed. I have a few ideas where you might go, and you can, of course, bring up the kind of material that you sometimes cover in your coaching. So perhaps first we can look at what is called imposter syndrome, which can be variously articulated as, who am I to be leading? I'm not skilled or qualified or capable. This relates, of course, mostly to people with leadership roles, though it could also impact anyone who's looking to lead and perhaps doesn't step forward because they think, well, who am I to do this? So how might you help explore this and maybe even conclude that perhaps they are in the wrong role?
Yeah, it's a really good place to start, I think, because there's quite a lot of press about this at the moment, isn't it? And a lot of people are recognising it in themselves as well. Now it's been, you know, I think it's probably been around for many years, but, you know, it's got a name now, hasn't it? When we feel doubt and not good enough, I guess. Look, there's several ways that I coach clients with this. I mean, the first thing to say is that they wouldn't necessarily come and say, I'm suffering from imposter syndrome, but it just shows up, right? In the general day-to-day, it shows up in some of the limiting beliefs maybe that come up, in the ways of thinking and a perspective on a particular situation. And the first thing I think that I think is really important for the leaders is the self-awareness, being aware of those triggers. You know, when do I disengage? When do I get into my own head? You know, for some of the leaders I coach, it happens in certain meetings or around certain people that kind of trigger them, or it could be like a promotion or a new role or having to sort of represent something they don't feel quite confident in. You know, knowing what the trigger is helps us to then go in and explore it and actually unpack it and say, okay, what belief just got activated in you? You know, what is the thinking behind what triggered you? And how does that compare to the actual facts? And, you know, what, let's look at the truth. What strengths are you bringing? You know, like, is this truth? And I think that's the very first place to start with something like imposter syndrome. I mean, there's other things that I cover that come up just briefly, like self-care. That can being overwhelmed and being tired and just feeling like I'm never getting on top of things, there's too much to do, that can trigger, well, I'm obviously not a good leader, you know, I'm not coping, I don't have the capacity. And that's not, it's nothing to do with that, it's just we haven't really loved ourselves. And you know, Andy, you probably think about this, but the verse, you know, love others, but it says, as we love ourselves, doesn't it, in the Bible? And it's really important, I think. You know, you asked me before, what are some of the common issues for leaders? Well, I think one, especially in Christian circles, burnout is so common, isn't it? Where leaders just go and go and go and get burnt out and take on too much. So, you know, looking at how can I take care of me and not feeling guilty about that, realizing it's actually a survival technique, it's really important to really understand what brings, you know, what re-energizes me, what do I need to sustain, you know, this position or this level. And the other areas I thought about in terms of imposter syndrome, look, my favorite area, I have to mention it, is purpose and identity. If you don't know who you are as a leader, you know, what your high level purpose is, what you're on this earth to do and how you're going to impact this earth and what it is you're bringing of the kingdom of God, you know, what, in a sense, if you like, what is it that you're imparting from heaven in the situation that God's put you in, the leadership position, then there might be doubts and there might be questions. Whereas if you have gone down that journey to make that really sure, you know, the Bible says, make your calling and election sure so that you may not stumble. So if you've actually taken the time to really go in, know what your purpose is, we do life purpose statements, which are really high level statements, then you know whether you're in the right position. You know if what you're doing is aligned to that. You know when it's not. So it gives you this confidence and this inner assurance that not only are you aligned to who you're meant to be, but also if you don't feel ready, you kind of feel more sure that God's going to back you up and he's behind you because you know you've done the work with him to figure that out. So those are the kind of sort of things. I could go on, but yeah.
No, that's really helpful. Presumably there will be some occasions where a person concludes that they're in the wrong role, or at least they may need to adjust things a little bit or their approach to things.
Absolutely, yeah. I think that happens all the time, doesn't it? Things need to be adjusted. And when I'm coaching people who are in charge of an organization, a business, a church, a charity, it's a bit different, isn't it? Because they can, to some degree, perhaps adjust their role. But I think as leaders tend to be very capable. Many of us, I mean, I believe we're all leaders in a way, right? But people who are in leadership roles tend to be very capable. They tend to cover and fill in all over the place to, you know, make things happen and to make sure it's all going to plan. So quite often they end up working in areas that they can do, but that doesn't really bring them alive. It's not really their sweet spot. It's not really playing to their strengths. And some leaders go down that route for years and years and years where they're doing stuff that's not really what they're called to do. So absolutely. And it could mean a role adjustment or working somewhere else. Sometimes, I mean, my own testimony was working using a lot of my strengths, but I was working in a business environment for a product line that I'd had no sort of passion for. It didn't really, you know, I was kind of working in a place where it wasn't really aligned to what we were doing. It had no meaning to me. So, you know, that's another sign of not being in the right role, not being aligned to your purpose. It helps if you really believe in what you're contributing towards, you know.
Sure. Definitely. Well, let's move on to looking at our inner world, because leaders can be promoted based on skills maybe they're good communicators or good with people or whatever. Maybe the inner life has not kept pace with that. and sadly, I've heard people reflect on leadership calamities where they've gone off the rails or whatever. And sometimes they've thought, actually, deep down, I deliberately messed up because I wanted to be relieved of the role because I knew I just couldn't cope, which is desperately sad. But kind of happens. And of course, the casualties in terms of the people they lead are monumental as well. So talk a little bit about the inner life and whether you are easily able to explore that with the Christians that you coach, Tina.
Yeah, definitely. I think one of the things that he sort of said was sometimes leaders go off the rails. I think there's a difference between feeling ready for a certain position and the level of authority and, you know, responsibility that it carries, And you know, and it's right bang on maybe your skills and everything that you're trained for, but you don't feel ready, or you don't feel like you've had the experience, or you don't feel your skills are up to that level. And then there's the sort of character issues, isn't there? The maybe they are able to fulfill the role, but there's some kind of character thing that is going on in the background that they've not dealt with. And I think with regards to any of this stuff, really, I think one of the saddest things is that leaders don't feel they have anywhere to go to get help. And also, I think that leaders feel if they do ask for help, then they're somehow less than, and they're not really, you know, good enough to be in a leadership role. Whereas the reality, isn't it, Andy, is we all need help, whether we're a leader or not a leader, or wherever we're at. So I think that's where the coaching comes in. I think one of the reasons that some of the people, the leaders I coach, is because having a space that's safe, where you can say what you really feel, you know, go there, as you put it, to the issues, whether the, you know, it's the good, the bad and the ugly, isn't it? It's like knowing you've got someone that is, where it's confidential, where they're not going to judge you, but they're going to help you speak it out, talk it out, process it, and work it out for yourself. I mean, there's a difference, isn't there, between counselling and coaching, for example. I mean, counselling is really important, but sometimes you just do need a sounding board, someone where you can talk it through. And if you're, I mean, I think you said if people like deliberately sabotage themselves as well. I mean, ideally they would go and get help before that to figure out, well, what's going on inside me? You know, ask the big questions. If I'm not feeling joyful, if I'm not feeling connected and energized by what I'm doing and have a passion for it, then chances are something's misaligned. And whether it's something you need to address on the character side, or whether it's something to do with the role, or whatever it is, let's find out. Let's figure it out together, and let's come up with a solution so you don't have to, you know, go down such a dramatic route of sabotaging, because people can move. You know, we can move on. I think sometimes leaders, especially as we get older, we feel that it's too late, isn't it, to make a change, and it's too late to change it up. But it's never too late, is it? And I think if there's something in the heart that's not pinging, is not enjoying, is not resonating, is a word we use in coaching a lot, then let's look at that and let's find what needs to change to get you there. Sure. I don't know whether that really answers the question.
No, it does very much. And it relates to my next question, which is about loneliness. And you said that in a sense, coaching can provide a listening ear. But that is a key dimension. I guess it depends on the structure of the leader. Within the church world, we classically have had a model where an individual, maybe a vicar or a minister, is the person who kind of knows everything, knows some of the secrets of their congregation, and has to bear the burden of all that. I'm not sure that's always very healthy. But anyway, that's kind of, there'll be people listening for whom that's the case.
Yeah,
they may not have chosen it, but that's where they are, and it can be desperately lonely. And I guess you'll be coaching people in that world as well, coaching itself is a help, but presumably you would also advise people to get other individuals, perhaps outside the situation, who can support them.
Absolutely, Andy. Good point. You know, people who are safe people that aren't going to judge, people that aren't going to, you know, people that will keep the secrets, people that will support. And often I think that's other peers that are at the same level as yourself. And, you know, I know some vicars and church leaders meet with other church leaders, for example, which is really important, isn't it? And I think my encouragement is don't forsake that, if you like, because you need somewhere to be you, where you can be you. And, you know, when things are tough, when you can just say, oh, I'm really struggling with this, but you won't be judged. I mean, in a way, you don't really want someone to preach at you. You don't want someone to give you loads of advice, unless you do, you know, unless you're asking for that. Sometimes you just need people who can understand and can support you and just encourage you in it, isn't it? I feel.
Tina, my next question really does go there. And it does. So Some Christian leaders struggle with doubt or uncertainty, especially staff are tough, of course, when they're expected to preach confidently. So they want to preach with authenticity, but they're thinking, actually, I'm going through a rough time. Maybe the truths that they confidently believe, they're not no longer. Maybe there's, you know, things have happened in their life and they haven't seen God at work in the way they'd hoped to. And it's that's a horrible place, because they're up maybe at the pulpit, you know, 75% of the preaching time, needing to communicate. And I just, I guess it depends a little bit on the culture and the situation of the church. But how would you coach someone in that world? What would you say to them?
Yeah, I think, gosh, there's so much, isn't there? I think if we go to what we know from the Bible, it's not normal to feel on top of the world and for everything to go right and, you know, for the whole journey of our faith and our life to be, you know, easy. It's not, I mean, come on, tell me one biblical character that we can read about in the Bible where that's true. Yeah. So I think there's a place for reminding all of us, especially leaders, that that's actually normal. It's normal to have the valleys. It's normal to go through the tough times. It's normal to question things. It's normal sometimes, you know, to even question your faith, isn't it? But God has placed, I mean, it says that the positions of authority have been placed there by God, you know, in the Bible, in Rome, I think it's Romans 13. So God's put them there. So in a sense, I think the fact that you've got a position should encourage you, because God thinks you're up for the job. Do you know what I mean? The people that put you there. But also, I think something else you talked about was vulnerability in leadership and all of that. And that comes into play here, doesn't it? Where people want to follow people who are real. You feel far more connected to someone who's real about their struggles and how they're dealing with them, how they're going to the Lord, you know, and how they're overcoming, than they would, you know, to follow a leader who's perfect in every way and is not struggling. So I think there's a place in leadership where we obviously wisely share to some degree what we're going through, because others are going through it too. And they need, you know, it can be normalized that this is okay. We don't have to be happy, you know, overcoming Christians. You don't have to feel like that all the time.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, the Apostle Paul certainly in the same letter sometimes has spoken confidently about the good news of God, but also shared that he's despaired of life itself, that he's gone through tough times. 2 Corinthians, especially, is a very personal letter. So I think what you say is so helpful, that sometimes we imagine that every leader apart from us is on cloud 9 and seeing miracles every week, and it really isn't that way. So thank you.
It's about authentic leadership, isn't it? And being authentic is, hey, I'm having a tough time. It's okay, you know, I'm okay, but I'm having a tough time. Just, you know, this is the kind of things that are going on. So.
It would be good to touch on criticism and failure. A little while ago, I made a list of some of the topics I wanted to look at. The tricky thing about failure and criticism is that you need someone who's happy to talk about it. And I was struggling to find people. So hence, we'll look at it in a sort of third rather than personally, who comes to you and says, look, I'm just being criticized at every turn. And sometimes, frankly, they're right. I may not be as good as I'd like to be. How would you coach someone through that sort of world?
Wow, it's hard, isn't it? I mean, I think maturity of leadership is being able to take feedback, and not. I mean, there's so many leaders that I see that just can't or won't take feedback, and I think we have to realize that not all feedback is true. You know, it needs to be weighed. But I always love, I have learned, I've had to go through a journey myself of learning to actually be in a place to take feedback and inviting it from people that I want it from, that is. And you don't always want it from everybody, right? But you have to weigh it. But I think as a leader, it comes down to the culture that you've actually built, isn't it? Because people grow when they get, I'm calling it feedback, not criticism. Okay.
It's a good word. I like that.
Yeah. But it can feel, you know, it is going to be criticism. But I think the culture that ideally we want, and this is something I help leaders to do, is to develop the culture where we are have a culture of honor, where we have a culture where people are being given feedback, but in relation to who they are seen that they are, you know, it's like from a heavenly perspective, who is this person? What are they called into? And then it's the Bible tells us to do this in love, right? So the love bit to me is giving the feedback in relation to, look, this isn't who you are. This is, you're called higher than this. You have a higher, you know, it's not getting you where you need to be. And that's actually a very different kind of a criticism or feedback than just being told, oh, you're doing this wrong and you're doing that wrong, you know. So it's really needs to be wrapped up in a culture of honor. And I think the only way leaders can achieve that is by bringing it in themselves, so that's the way people learn to honor each other and give feedback and receiving it, you know, helping people to receive it in the context of why it's being given and for what good, you know, it's being given.
Sure.
Easier said than done. I realize that's actually huge. And there's a lot of broken people, isn't there? And a lot of people who get offended. And when we're offended or when we're stressed, we tend to lash out. We tend to give feedback. And again, I think as a leader, we have to rise above that and realize also where the person's coming from. You know, is this a mature person who really discerns well that's giving me feedback that is helpful? Or is this coming from a broken place, in which case we have to respond in love and helping them to, you know, be healed, really, I guess, if that makes sense.
Tina, you and I have both benefited from coaching and mentoring. I could imagine some people thinking, oh, this is sounding quite good, but I wouldn't know the first place to start in terms of finding a coach or indeed what the actual process would be like. And there's a lot of nervousness, and there'll be people who've put this idea on the back burner because they think actually it takes too much courage. So give us a pitch, not so much just for your work, but for the kind of concept of coaching that we both believe in as being so valuable.
Yeah, I think one of the problems is that coaching, some people are calling things coaching, but it's not actually coaching. It's advice. It's telling people what to do, and it's wrapped up in their own methodology. So if you're going to go for coaching, make sure it's really coaching. It's a place of facilitation where somebody is asking you questions, drawing out the answers from you, not being an advisor. DestinyCoachingMinistries.com. Obviously, I'm biased towards that. It's my ministry.
Yeah.
But I think it's helpful to have a Christian coach if you're a Christian, one that has done, you know, good level training. We have an online coach training school. We've got lots of coaches. I myself am a coach. If you go to a Christian, they're going to carry a bunch of values that you carry. They're going to realize it's not just about mind over matter. There's a God factor in everything. So I think it's helpful, but also to make sure they're qualified to do what coaching really is and not what it isn't. I mean, I've had lots of people come for coaching, and when I sort of talked to them, it wasn't actually coaching that they got. So, you know, that's important, isn't it?
Yeah. And you have when you say a God framework, you also have people who believe in the supernatural, believe that God sometimes speaks into people's lives. And that can be a turning point, an insight offered perhaps, which you say it's not quite advice, but it's, I wonder if you've thought this. And sometimes that can unlock something for someone which can be really priceless.
Absolutely. And I think that's one of the things we do with the coaching model that God has given me is, if the person wants to, we invite God into the conversation. And even people who've never heard him before can hear him. You know, it's actually quite simple to set that up or sense him or get a sense or a picture or words, or they'll walk away and then the week after they'll come back and they'll say, you never guess what happened. And they knew it was God guiding them. So I think bringing him into the process, seeking his guidance is a really powerful part that coaching can have. for anything. It doesn't have to just be spiritual matters. You know, God is a very practical God, right? He knows how everything works. So he can actually bring so much to us that we wouldn't have known. I mean, he's got shortcuts, he's got, you know, all kinds of strategies and also affirmations to affirm us when we're feeling doubt. So it's a really helpful part of it.
Bless you. Well, it's been good to go there, but I think the message probably is also we're going to go there with God, and that makes all the difference. So thank you so much, Tina, yeah, for what you've shared, and you know, may the Lord continue to bless you in your ministry.
Thank you, Andy. Bless you.
That was my conversation with Tina Southgate of Destiny Coaching Ministries. Website's very simple, destinycoachingministries.com. They train coaches and offer one-to-one coaching. So maybe you would find that one-to-one work is just what you need at the moment. Perhaps it's worth exploring, maybe with Tina or someone else, the possibility of a course of coaching. Often you'll find the exploratory chat is absolutely free, and then you can decide whether you want to work together. If you're a church leader, then you may have structured oversight, and that's great if you do. But the beauty of coaching is that you can have confidential conversations where you can share weaknesses without feeling that your role or work might suffer. Sadly, in some settings, weaknesses might be frowned on, whereas in good coaching, shared weaknesses can be a stepping stone to future success. So if you have areas of your life where you'd really like to go there, as it were, then do consider coaching as an option. You can always get prayer support if some of our conversation has led to you feeling distressed in any way, then do phone Premier Lifeline Monday to Friday in working hours, 0300 111 0101. That's 0300 111 0101. If you're a regular listener, you know that we're coming up to 1,000 shows in December. So if you're from a country other than the UK and you're listening to this, then do get in touch with me, andy.peck@premier.org.uk. It'd be lovely to give a shout out to various places where people listen to this recording from. So this is Andy Peck, your host, thanking you for your company and looking forward very much to the next time. Bye for now.
Leadership Show with Andy Peck. To get in touch, email andy.peck@premier.org.uk.
You've been listening to The Profile in association with Premier Christianity Magazine.